Hey guys, it's Megan Segura.
And it's Rachel Roberts.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
We are digital producers for BravoTV.com and we're recording from Bravo HQ in Rockefeller Plaza. Yeah.
So, big doings in Bravo HQ this week.
Yes.
Rachel and I had back-to-back interviews. What day was it? Tuesday?
Yes.
With Kyle Richards and Lisa Vanderpump.
Yes, but I will say, everyone, the way that they entered our lives was I looked down the hall and there was Jiggy dressed as Prince. Like,
right.
Imagine what Prince would wear as a Pomeranian with alopecia. Alopecia? Is that the name?
Uh-huh.
And if you follow me on Instagram, you saw the video of, like, what I saw. It's like I saw Lisa and Ken's feet and then bloop, 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 Jiggy. It was the cutest.
I really wanted a close-up of Jiggy's little butt. It's so wrinkly and naked. It's just so strange to see.
And a highlight was, so they also had Harrison, or who Lisa says is the Puffster.
Yeah, they've changed his name to Puffster.
They were just, like, roaming around the recording room while we interviewed Lisa Vanderpump. It was the greatest thing ever.
Okay, my favorite thing, and maybe we'll actually hear her talk about it when we do play Lisa's interview, which will be next week, is while Lisa's doing this interview, in the background, Ken is holding the Puffster, and they're both snoozing.
It's so cute.
It was amazing.
But my other favorite part was, so we interviewed Lisa and then Kyle showed up and we were talking to Kyle. And then Lisa comes around the corner and Lisa's just going to come into our room because Lisa's allowed to do whatever she wants to do because she's Lisa Vanderpump. And we're like, please come in. And Kyle was like, okay, I'm going to pretend like I'm talking badly about her. Lisa Vanderpump, that bitch. And then they just had the funniest, like, back and forth. And me and Megan were just like,
this is everything. I will also say, apparently, I didn't see it, but I found out later, Lisa Vanderpump, with a Sharpie, went and wrote on Jeff Lewis's photo, because we have photos all around the office of different cast members, and so one of them is this beautiful photo of Jeff, and Lisa takes a Sharpie and just writes on it.
Right,
and
like it's him, like, saying something.
And it's like him saying, I just love Lisa Vanderpump so much. But, like, isn't that just a different... I always think about celebrities,
mm-hmm.
and particularly that Britney Spears documentary on MTV.
Yes.
And she walks into the store while she's shopping, and she just goes right to the thermostat and changes the temperature. And I'm like, that is just a different type of person.
Right.
Where you are always in control of everything and are allowed to do whatever you want. But... I kind of like that about Vanderpump.
No, totally. I love that she's just like, I'm going to do this. It'll be funny.
Right.
Amazing. And amazing. We're never going to take it down.
Never.
We'll put up a photo of that on our social media because it's hilarious.
So something terrible happened this week. Bobby Zarin, Jill Zarin's husband, passed away from cancer. He was first diagnosed with thyroid cancer in 2009. Jill had confirmed in 2016 that the cancer had returned, and he was hospitalized in July 2017 due to complications from the illness.
We talked to Jill last year,
mm-hmm.
about Bobby. I think we're going to play a little bit of that audio now. But I know when I heard, I just thought of that moment, and also just I was... unbelievably sad,
especially for Jill.
Absolutely.
It's sad to begin with, but you're talking about a woman that has always held her husband up on a pedestal. Like, she loves her husband.
And in talking to her, it was like, what I think is, I'm gonna get, like, emotional, of course I am, but what I think is casual references to someone, I think, is such a sign of love. So she would be like, oh, I was at the store, and then, like, well, Bobby was there. Oh, I just asked Bobby about this. And it was this very, like, just a casual, like, reference. And it's just such a reflection of, like, how much in their life that, like, when you're talking about anything, they come up. And it just their connection.
a lot of the Real Housewives of New York, plus, I mean, a lot of Bravolubs in general turned out for his funeral in New York City. There are posts up on Daily Dish on BravoTV.com where you can see the photos, but everyone from, I mean, Bethany was there, Aviva Drescher was there, Danielle Staub from Jersey, Sonia, Ramona. So, I don't know, it was sweet to see the outpouring of love from everyone.
Well, we talked to Jill in June of last year. We're going to play a little bit of that now. But if you want to listen to that whole interview, link is in the description.
We're here with Jill Zarin.
Yes.
OG of the Real Housewives of New York City.
Yes.
It is a pleasure and an honor.
Oh, you're way too kind. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course, we were talking about it, and I remember watching the first episode of New York City and just being in love with you guys. Like, this is a huge dream come true. Like, I'm so excited.
That's so nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I think fans want to know, how are you? What have you been up to? What's going on in your life right now?
Well, right now, I'm in the Hamptons, and kind of really just playing tennis every day. This is my my new life. I like to consider myself semi-retired. I don't know if I'll ever be completely retired as much as I would like to. And just trying to soak in every day. I wake up and I'm grateful to be alive, and I'm grateful to have my family and my friends. And just want to kind of live in the moment and enjoy that. So I have taken up tennis to the degree that I play literally every single day. So that's why I tell everybody, don't call me before 11, because I will not answer the phone. I will be on a tennis court somewhere. I can. And I'm, you know, I'm with my husband every day. We're together all the time and enjoying, you know, our lives together. And my daughter, Allie, she's working in the city right now. She graduated from Vanderbilt University. I'm very proud of her. And now she's applying to, I know, do you believe she's all grown up?
No.
And she's applying to graduate school in London. So we are heading there tomorrow.
Oh, no way.
We're heading there tomorrow for her interview. I might lose her for a year.
Oh, my God.
I might lose her for a year to London. But that's okay. It just gives us an excuse to go to London and see her and travel in Europe together. So that'd be great.
Oh,
and Ginger. Ginger's 14-ish. Ugh. We're not really sure of her exact age. We're always fighting over how old she is. But she's in great health and still barking at everybody and frisky as ever. Loves to go to the beach every day and meditate. No, I'm just kidding. She doesn't have to beach every day, though. And who else is around?
I do want to know a little bit more about Bobby. You know, he's doing better these
days. Bobby's sitting right here listening to every word I say. Bobby, want to give a shout-out? Hello? Oh, Bobby said, right. Zarin Fabrics is doing amazing. You know, it's still, believe it or not, we are still in business after how many years now, Bobby? Over 80, like 85 years in business.
Wow.
Which, yeah, on the Lower East Side, so we're still selling fabric at a discount. The best, that's why we're still in business, because our customers know they get the best prices.
Here's to you, Bobby.
Bobby.
I know that The Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion part one just happened. And of course, we want to talk about it because I was there also. So we're going to hold it till next week, till we have all the information.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can tell you maybe some stuff you didn't see.
Because Megan was there, lest we forget. I just like that Grace had written down in our banter notes, Grace made us meet for 2 hours this week.
Which she did.
Yeah, we had like a little mini offsite for just like this podcast, what we could be doing better.
And 2018 planning.
Yes.
So if you guys have thoughts.
Yes. Like, what do you like? What don't you like? What do you wish we would do?
Yeah. What are your hopes, dreams, fears for the
Adam
future?
DeLeo, we're talking to you.
Yeah. tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Yes. Yeah, then I'll pull all your thoughts together and put another 2-hour meeting on Megan and Rachel's calendar.
Oh, God.
Never mind. Don't tweet us, guys. But while we're not talking about New Jersey this week, we are talking about Vanderpump Rules.
We'll never not be talking about Vanderpump Rules.
Right. In case you're like, I wonder if they're going to be talking about Vanderpump this week. Yes.
Yes.
We will.
Well, can I say?
Yes.
In the office, we got a little teaser.
at like an episode to come. Yes. And we all gathered around this person's desk to watch it because, well, this is all I'll say. Remember in the super preview for this season, we see two men embrace.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up very soon.
Yes.
And, oh my God. Amazing.
We all watched it twice. Yeah. Like, that's how much we needed to analyze this. But anyway, this episode of Vanderpump Rules begins where it last ended, at this housewarming party.
Right.
Brittany hears the audio, and naturally at 1:15 in the morning when you're drunk, what you want to do is share it with the world.
Right.
So then Megan, you corrected me earlier because we don't get to hear the audio.
Right.
I couldn't tell if they really did play it, if she really did play it over the speakers.
Yeah, so I've heard from a couple sources now, including Rachel O'Brien, mm-hmm. but also I think Ryan Flynn, the executive in charge, was like, they played it over the speaker. However, it makes sense that we as fans couldn't hear it because James stole the recording. So first of all, thinking about all the legalities of like secretly recording someone as Faith was doing to Jax, but then to steal that audio from someone's phone... Yeah, I don't think that's okay.
Right, but we learn from the interview footage with all the ladies some of the things that were said, which includes...
Jax is saying the most horrible things about Brittany.
He doesn't want to marry Brittany. He's never going to have children with her. And he's not even attracted to her anymore.
I don't like being with her sexually.
Right.
I never want to have kids. We never have sex. I don't really want to be with her. I like being with her, but not like that.
Faith, you're the best sex I've ever had.
Ugh, that's the one that Katie and I agree is like the worst.
Yeah.
He's telling Faith that she's like the best sex you've ever... Ugh.
Which is such like a... I don't, but like any guy that tells you you're the best sex he's ever had, don't trust it.
Right. The only time you should trust it is when John Mayer says that Jessica Simpson was like sexual napalm.
Oh, yes. I love John Mayer.
Is sexual napalm a good thing or a bad thing?
Absolutely a good thing.
Yeah, he said it was like, I think he maybe also compared it to drugs, but it was like an addiction. Like, he had to...
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, because napalm usually is like, oh, it burned into my body and hurts.
Right. Google it real quick to make sure I'm right. Just put Jessica Simpson sexual napalm.
No, I think you're right. I've heard that quote before.
It was like, John Mayer and I have very different memories of the Vietnam War.
Oh, my God.
Okay, the quote is, sexually, it was crazy. That's all I'll say. It was like napalm, sexual napalm. Did you ever say, I just want to quit my life and just f***ing snort you? So I don't think... Nick Lachey, no. I don't think
John Mayer
knows what napalm is.
Yeah, so that was an interview he did with Playboy. And I remember, because this is the time of my life I would watch The View every morning. And Jessica Simpson was on. And they were like... Oh, these quotes from John Mayer. And she was like, not happy. And they're like, no, but like, what he says is positive, no? And she's like, I don't think anyone should be talking about something so private.
You can't shake that, like, church girl.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
But by the way, I'd be happy for any of my exes to describe me in such a way.
Agreed. For the listeners out there, Rachel got a nosebleed and ran to the bathroom.
So it's just Grace and I holding down the fort. Talking about John Mayer and sexual napalm.
It's because it's so hot and dry in here.
I love John Mayer.
I know.
Rachel's back.
Anyway, back to Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
Never trust Jax, particularly if he tells you it's the best sex of your life.
Right.
Of his life.
Right.
So she plays it at the party, and then everyone is freaking out that she did this, or that she was even told about this audio existing.
Well, the men.
The men. When I say everyone, I mean the men. Clearly the women, and Lala is like my number one.
I wrote, Rachel, you are Lala. Lala is you.
Oh my God.
When she was like, God forbid women, you know, unite together.
Oh, God forbid that women stand together as people that sit there and
thank
go,
you.
We're not going to deal with your bullshit. I'm done with these men thinking that they can do whatever the f*** they want.
And men who do this and that. I was like, my God, if you played this right next to Rachel's rant from a couple weeks ago, it's almost identical.
I mean, that is the nicest thing you've ever said to me. Thank you. I aspire to be Lala. But yeah, I wrote down, yes, Lala, God forbid women stand together. But I was, yeah. Okay, so we have the men. They're really mad that it was even played at all.
Yeah.
That it was brought up at this time, God forbid.
Right.
So the men all go to Katie and Tom's, and then the ladies stay, and James, stay in Jax and Brittany's apartment.
Which is fine, because they have all the alcohol. They have all of the spinach dip. Like, isn't that what Ariana said?
Yes.
No, we're here. You have a bum-ass house.
We literally have all the artichoke dip, all the jello shots, all the whatever.
But what I want to get into is this Ariana and Tom kind of aftermath of that happening. It's not even really Jax and Brittany who you think would be like the main, you know, friendly fire of this. It's Ariana and Tom get into this huge fight.
Right. Like, I don't, by the way, why is he so upset? I understand why Jax would be upset. That's embarrassing, which, but by the way, you deserve it. But why does Sandoval care?
I agree, and I don't get why he's, like, you shouldn't have done, like, to the effect of, like, maybe Brittany would have been able to handle it better, and she wouldn't have gotten so upset if she wasn't played when she was, like, wasted at, like, 1 a.m.
Who cares?
But, right, sorry, I don't really think that the delivery matters. This is a point I wanted to make about everything. This is a theme on this show that all of the men, I think, to distract, are like, why did you have to come out with it and say it that way? Why did you come out with that at this time? It's not the time or the place. And it's like, well, none of this would even be a thing if you didn't put your dick in somebody else.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You're just trying to distract from your bad behavior.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't understand why Tom got so mad at Ariana, and Ariana's just like, it wasn't even my phone. It was Lala's phone, which I enjoyed.
Tom, it's not on my phone. It's not on my phone. It's on Lala's phone.
You say no.
It's not on my phone.
But Ariana, in this discussion with Tom, who's very mad at her, uses one of my favorite words, is obtuse. I love calling someone obtuse.
You're being so, maybe it's not, like...
I'm being so what?
Dude, obtuse right
obtuse?
Now. Yes.
It's like the best.
Why?
Because it's like when someone is just being messy to be messy and like not even attempting to understand your point of view, calling them obtuse feels really fancy, eh? And most of the time they're like, what? I don't understand. So you're like, And then you're basically just calling them out for not being empathetic and feeling, and you're purposefully trying to not talk about what we're really talking about.
Right. Uh-huh. Can we talk about the next morning a little bit?
Yes. So they have this big blowout, doesn't get resolved. But the next morning, Sheena has Lala, Ariana, and Tom over for fruit and mimosas because she doesn't make breakfast.
That's also too much sugar. Fruit and mimosas?
So.
Have eggs and mimosas.
Get some protein. Egg whites while you're at it. And I'm like, okay, maybe we didn't see it, but in the middle of the night, Ariana and Tom made up.
Nope.
Not at all. They go into it more, and Ariana says, maybe we should just break up then because you don't like me as a person.
You don't like me as a person.
What? When am I saying that?
And I get what she's saying. Like, if you can't trust me to do the right thing and you're constantly criticizing me for stuff like that, then you just don't like who I am.
Right.
And I don't want to be around that.
Yeah.
So I get what she's saying, but I also get where he's like, why are you going to this extreme? Of course I like you as a person. I'm with you.
Right.
You know?
I was more upset by what was happening in the other kitchen over at Brittany and Jax's.
Me too.
Like, shouting through the TV mad. The fact that he is making her feel bad for playing that recording.
It's literally like
too fucking bad.
I mean, I've said this before, but like, could you imagine? I can't imagine being so clearly in the wrong and then pointing to someone for like something very innocuous. You know, I get it. It's embarrassing to you, but it's not as embarrassing as being cheated on and let everybody know and then have this recording come out. And then you said those things. Like, ignore the cheating. Okay, whatever. What he's saying is just as bad.
Jimmy does the cheating.
And
that's
and
humiliating.
To an extent, I expect that from Jax. But as Brittany later said to Lisa, I'm not being very strong right now. I just wanted her to be like, are you kidding me? And be like, you know what, Katie and Tom, I'm staying with you guys for the next week until
Absolutely.
I figure this out.
And what I, my thing is always like,
she apologized, Rachel.
I know.
The thing is, he just wants to keep it private between them because he knows that
he's in the wrong.
Well, and he knows that he can get her to stay. He can convince her.
But if she has
other people's point of view, which of course is going to be, you need to leave him.
Right. But that's manipulation, right?
Yeah. As Maya Angelou once said, when someone shows you who they are, believe them.
I know. I just want her to be stronger. That whole conversation was exasperating. Exasperating? Is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like you saw how she would say something and then he would so cleverly like step around it or then make it back to like, well, you did that. And then she'd be like, what are you talking about? You did that. And it's like if you're talking to someone who doesn't want to deal with the truth, who won't acknowledge it, they're just going to never.
Yeah.
I would lose my mind. It makes you feel crazy.
Right.
I'm just so disappointed. And then I feel like also, you know, we're watching all of this with the context of they're still together.
Yeah.
We know that they're still together.
Yes.
So that's always there when I'm watching this these conversations. Even when Stassi was like, I can't wait until you date the next guy. And he's going to be like, whoa, you're so fucking incredible. And you're going to feel so loved. She never got that.
Right. And will she ever?
And will she ever? And will Jax change? We don't know. Because we know he goes to therapy.
That's true. And that's what we have to remember.
Right. We're just seeing this moment.
Right.
This is what, like, almost 8 months ago at this point?
Yeah.
But it's hard to watch.
It's hard to watch, but you love to watch it.
Right. Anyway, there was another relationship I wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. Sheena and Rob.
Yeah, that took a weird turn.
Didn't it? So we're at the end of the episode. James has had a See You Next Tuesday party.
And I will see you next Tuesday.
Which goes really well. But so Sheena kind of confronts Katie about this whole Rob thing.
Yeah, I'll keep your relationship out of my mouth. You keep my relationship out of your mouth.
If we can just come to an agreement where, like, I keep your name and your relationship out of my mouth and you do the same, because this rumor is bullshit. You didn't see it. You heard something.
Right, and then she's like, but I got somebody else to talk to, which is this Jen person.
Yeah, Jen Bush.
Jen Bush.
Your same name.
So funny.
First daughter.
Yeah. Okay.
I was alive during the Bush administration, Megan.
So she goes and talks to Jen, who works at the other restaurant that this other girl supposedly made out with Rob about. And there were several things that I found interesting. First of all, Kristen and Katie always said they saw that their friend saw Rob make out with this other person. Then we find out Jen says she just told me that they made out.
She's one of my girlfriends. And one day she's like, do you know this girl? Because obviously she knows I work at Sir. And I was like, well, yeah, of course I do. And she's like, well, that's weird. She's like, because this guy that I used to date, I just saw online that he's dating her. And he just kissed me the other night.
So that's like a different thing, right?
Right.
Because like, what is...
But either way, Rob confessed.
Right. So that's number one. Number two, much bigger, apparently he did confess and say, like, yeah, I kissed her.
But Sheena's okay with it?
But Sheena was like, yeah, I know that, but it wasn't anything that big of a deal.
Like, he kissed her on her cheek. Maybe their lips brushed.
Yeah, but I asked him. I was like, okay, so tell me what happened. He's like, I used to date a girl who worked there. I picked her up. I twirled her around. I gave her a kiss on the cheek, or maybe the lips hit, whatever.
Right, or maybe it was more than just a kiss on the cheek. But, like, real... So I... As she's saying all this to this Jen person, I just was like, what point are you trying to make? Like, what you're saying is like, okay, I just want to confirm with you that, like, yeah, my boyfriend did make out with somebody else.
But I want you to not talk about it, because the game of telephone. Like, she kept saying the game of telephone, but, like, actually in this case, the game of telephone worked because everyone repeated the same story.
Right.
Which is that Rob kissed someone.
You're telling me the exact same thing he told me. So it's just the f***ing game of telephone is so annoying. So...
No, the telephone worked very well this time.
Clear as a bell.
Yeah. And actually,
much, I think, worse is what Sheena was saying. Like, Sheena made it worse.
Yeah.
And then at the end, in interview, she was like, well, I'm so glad I cleared that up. And he was like, that he did cheat on you? What is the point you're trying to make?
It reminds me of season 3 of Vanderpump. This is the Veil season. Okay. That Jax went to Vegas. Remember he was dating that older girl who worked in Vegas? Oh, sorry. She paid for a trip for them to go to Palm Beach, all the guys.
Yes.
And you find out Jax had a girl in the bathroom. Yes. There were sounds that definitely sounded like they were hooking up.
Yes.
And Jax tried to get ahead of it by being like, oh, I already told Tiff. You don't even need to worry. Yes, I already told her about it. Then you watch him actually tell her, and she's like, no, I haven't heard any of this before. It kind of reminds me of the same thing. Like, Sheena's trying to shift the narrative.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was just very odd, but I wasn't, like, shifting it to make it better.
I know.
Like, you're making it worse. And then, as Tom Sandoval said before she even had this conversation with Jen Bush, if you don't want people to talk about it, stop talking about it yourself.
Exactly.
Sheena, if you don't want people talking about this Rob rumor, then stop talking about it.
But I'm not done with this conversation about Ariana and Tom because I want to ask Ariana how they're doing in person next week.
So I won't even say what show we're talking about. I'll just tell you that the first line of both Rachel and my notes for the show were Kim's boobs. Because Kim Zolciak on this episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta, goddamn.
Yes, goddamn.
Like,
goddamn.
I was waiting.
At any moment, there was going to be a slip.
But yeah, if you haven't seen that, check it out. Okay. This, I will say, has been one of my maybe top 5 favorite episodes of Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Ever?
Ever.
Ever.
Because we got so much information.
Oh, my God. I know. And I feel like Kim is at the point that, like, and this is why I love Kim Zolciak, is that she is, like, no shame. And not in a negative way, but just in, like, I'm going to say whatever. Yeah. I don't care.
Exactly.
Because you can't hurt me because I got my babies and I got my Croy.
Yeah.
You know? And I got my house. Like, I feel like she just does not give a fuck.
So we're at this lunch with her and Sheree, and Nene's supposed to come, but Nene doesn't come, which we'll get into.
I just want to comment on the parallels between Beverly Hills and Atlanta this week, because basically the same thing happens. Someone arrives at, or doesn't even tell someone for an hour that they aren't coming.
Oh, yes.
And, like, that isn't even, no one's even upset on Atlanta, and yes, two of them were together, so it's a little less.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it would have been a thing.
I know.
And, like, now you know that's going to be a whole thing on Beverly Hills for, like, the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah. Late gate.
Yeah. Anyway.
So at this lunch, they're talking. Sheree and Kim are talking. They get, Kim's trying to, you know, get a feel for what's happening with the other ladies. The whole thing comes up between Portia and Candy. And
from the reunion?
Yes. And Kim's like, well, I had to say no to her licking my box.
Let me tell you about Candy. Okay. On my kid's life, hope God strikes me dead. I wouldn't let her lick my box.
Don't tell me she offered to lick your box.
She just...
Oh, my God. How does this get juicy?
I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm telling you the f***ing truth.
What's your favorite euphemism for vagina?
Oh. Ooh. My favorite
Mine
for vagina
is gash.
That's the worst one. Gash.
But it's like, that one's British. So it's like, fancy.
No. It just, to me, it makes it sound like this, like, bloody,
open
terrible.
Wound.
Yes. It makes it seem like a bad thing.
So are you like a Lala, like, call it kitty cat?
Oh, I do like kitty cat.
Okay.
So is that Beyonce song?
Right. Well, so Kim's is box, clearly. But wait, do we think that happened? I mean, the way Kim said, like, look, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you the truth.
I know. When she said that in an interview, I was dying. Because she's like, I mean, the whole, like, drug her and stuff, like, I don't think that's true. But, like, the other part, I wouldn't be surprised.
I know.
And, like, my thing is, this happened last season, too. Like, Candy is so open.
Yes.
And I think she's even said, like, yeah, I've been with men and women at the same time.
Oh, yeah, she definitely has.
So I'm not that surprised.
But yeah, so I want to see what Candy says in reaction. Because she'll either own it or be like, she's lying.
Own it, Lisa. Own it.
But yeah, there's so much tea.
The other huge thing is that Kim talks about the Brielle Snapchat.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I can't believe they showed it.
So I had no idea, because if you have your finger on the pulse of what's happening with Housewives at all times, then you knew there was a white party that Brielle was at Nene's house, and she Snapchat a video of cockroaches in Nene's bathroom. Mm-hmm, and this started a whole
thing.
Feud.
Yes.
I had no idea we as fans had already witnessed the white party. I thought it was coming up toward the end of the season.
Right, because I knew that she had released this video and it was like a whole thing, but I don't think I had put together either that it was like,
it was at that.
Yeah, because we didn't see Brielle on the show.
Right.
So I didn't know that she was, oh my God. And then they showed it on air.
I know.
Brielle posted this snap. She's like, hey, everybody. And she's smiling in the mirror and then...
Oh, my God.
She had, like, Brielle said there was over 24 cockroaches in her bathroom.
I mean, we didn't... At this point, Nene doesn't know there's a video.
Right.
Like, at this point in Real Housewives.
But she has to if she Snapchatted it a while ago.
Oh, you're right.
So she does know. And maybe that's part of the reason why Nene is like...
I'm trying to remember what happened, because I think there's a Snapchat, and then they deleted it, but then someone had video.
Yeah,
they did delete it.
Yeah. I mean, we got it.
So I don't know.
What I was thinking of, though, when she didn't show up, like, everything that she's citing, she knew before she agreed to the dinner. So why did you agree in the first place?
That's the thing. I did not understand Nene's reasoning for not showing up.
I didn't get it either.
I think she was mad about something.
Yeah. I mean, obviously. She had to call in Miss Bella.
So let's go to that.
Yeah.
Elephant in the room party.
Yes. No phones except... Like, once again, Kim Zolciak does not give a fuck. I'm not giving you my phone.
My husband's coming with my pizza. Kim loves pizza.
She does.
And like me, appreciates Papa John's.
This is a no cell phone zone.
What?
No, that's not going to work. I got six babies at home. My husband's bringing me pizza.
So, Bella's a medium?
A medium, but then also is like reads energies is
right.
What I was gathering.
Right. She's intense.
Mm-hmm.
So when she's like kind of reading the ladies, like, and she just like points her finger and does it, and it was so creepy, and the look on Candy's face was amazing.
I know,
which is just like, what's happening?
Well, what did you think of her shaking hands with some people and being like, I don't shake hands?
Yes.
That was so weird.
Hi, Candy. I'm in ballet. Oh, I don't shake. How are you?
Hi.
She did not get a good vibe off of Kim.
No. But Kim, who is of a higher power herself,
yeah.
Did not get good vibes off of Bella.
When you're from a higher power, you don't even feel that, because I am from a higher power. I can promise you.
I do agree, though. Bella, I didn't trust.
I agree. And because the whole time I was like, oh, maybe Kim isn't into this kind of stuff. Then I was like, no. I absolutely know that she is. She has her own psychic.
She said she had been read by Tyler. She had been read by Long Island Medium.
Right. And Kim's the kind of person that, like, Kenya calls her rude. And I will agree that just talking
when someone else is talking
is rude. But what I love is that when she's like, I don't trust this and I don't care, I'm going to be rude because I don't care.
I've been read by Long Island Medium. I've been read by Tyler. I've been read by the best. This is some bullshit. This is negative.
Listen,
energy.
Okay.
And her laughing basically in Bella's face the whole time. But also, I feel like I would have too.
I think it was uncomfortable.
Church giggles a little bit.
Yes, I know.
I shouldn't be laughing, but totally. This is so weird.
And then I really did think that she was telling Kenya she was going to die.
Bella's like, you're not going to be here much longer.
No.
Kenya, you're not going to be here much longer anyway.
Isn't alive or in this room?
Girl, you ain't going to drop dead. I didn't say no.
I'm like,
okay. So then Bella has had it with Kim.
Yes.
Calls her a Dixie cup.
I know.
Which just means white?
Dixie cup over here. No, because she's a solo cup.
Because I think of those little white Dixie cups.
Oh,
and
yes.
So I thought it was that.
No. She's just commenting on her solo cup. and just was and they broke Bella.
Yeah, they broke her. Someone that like is used to dealing with energies of just another realm
got up and left, and the Candy had to take over.
I know.
And by the way, nothing got resolved.
No, but what pissed me off is that Nini's like, we all need to get together because there's all these elephants in the room. And then it's like, you can't even name another one.
And you can't deal with one of them. And you can't deal with your own.
Right. Or even bring up like what, because like my thing is like, you're clearly mad about something. You're showing it. You're acting with this anger. But then when anybody wants to talk about it, you're like, what? She's being obtuse.
Oh. Kenya had a lot to say about Kim Zolciak's look. What did you think of it?
I didn't think she looked like Pepto-Bismol until I was told she looked like Pepto-Bismol.
I don't know if someone's trying to tell us there's a bad spirit in the room, but if they are, it must be someone with a blonde wig and dressed as a bottle of Pepto-Bismol.
Anytime you wear that shade of pink. With red is difficult. I was like, was it Valentine's Day?
Yeah, it was aggressive.
At first, I thought she was wearing like long boots.
And wasn't she?
No, they're like leggings and short boots.
Ugh.
I know. And the length on it was strange.
Not her best.
I don't know if she was like wearing that pink dress and I was like, it's a little colder than I thought. And then I had to throw on these leggings.
That makes sense.
I don't know, but it was a strange look. And usually I feel like in the recent years, Kim Zolciak puts it together.
Yeah.
So I was surprised by that look. And next week is actually a really exciting week because it's the 200th episode ever of Atlanta.
That's crazy. Right? We have watched 200 episodes of Atlanta.
We have. And we got to talk to Sheree a little bit about her favorite moments from Atlanta. We're going to be putting up a bonus episode with her this Sunday morning, the day of the 200th episode in celebration. Because Brava's going to be playing Atlanta all day long.
It's the first season, including the reunion.
Least You Forget is the Close Your Legs to Married Men reunion.
Exactly.
What I want someone to do is to make the poster for The Bone Collector, the movie, with Sheree. Photoshop that.
I think it may exist. I'm going to Google
it. Well, let's get into Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yes.
So Rachel and I were recently at a meeting that they call Show and Tell because we just play clips ahead of time for everyone to see in a conference room, and it's really fun. And so we were watching this clip of Teddy waiting for Dorit to show up for their drink, and how she's waiting, and then Teddy goes in this whole thing about, like, you know, it's a respect thing, and if you're not showing up, you're showing me that you don't care about me. And Rachel's like, I think Teddy would hate me.
I did say that, and she would, because like my boyfriend can attest, I'm late. A late person, although I've gotten much better with him. I really try to be on time because I know he hates it. But I'm someone that's perpetually, as Carrie Bradshaw is, 10 minutes late to everything.
Right.
I won't be more than 10 minutes, though, usually. It's like I'm a good 10 minutes late.
Right.
And then I am constantly updating you on where I am. And, like, I'm running late. Moment I know I'm going to be running late, I will text you.
Yes.
The moment I'm actually getting on the subway, I will text you. When I'm, like, I'm down the block, I'll be right there. Like, I'm informing you because I know I'm in the wrong. So that's already me being like, please don't be mad at me. I'm trying to give you as much information as possible.
Teddy, my love.
So that's what, like, I thought about it again because I watched the episode again today. And Dorit's whole thing, right, is the moment I got into the car, I had to get on this call and it lasted an hour. First of all, that doesn't make any sense. You were in the car for an hour and you're supposed to get there at 4:30, but then none of this timeline makes
sense. Right.
But then also, that means getting into the car before the phone call started, you already knew you were going to be late. Like, if you leave the house at a certain time, you know you're going to be late.
Right. So because at first I was like, oh, well, they just had two different start times in mind. Dorit thought they were meeting at 4:30. Teddy thought they were meeting at 4. That's the issue here.
is, because 12 minutes late is not a big deal.
No, absolutely
However,
not.
However, at 4:42, Jarrett was still 20 minutes away.
I know.
So no matter what time you thought it was starting, you're going to be over 30 minutes late. Not cool, bro. So not good. Like, if we thought these two weren't going to be friends, it's kind of sealed, I think.
Right, and which is odd because I do think that even though we all know Teddy might not have feeling Dorit, I don't think Dorit knew that at all.
Right.
I think she was completely in the dark about Teddy's feelings.
Also, she may be, like, is it lacking self-awareness? Because she also had no idea she could.
Dorit lack self-awareness? Not realizing calling someone that you've only met once a stupid c- is
that's
a problem?
What I was going to. But to me, that really did showcase her innocence, where she was like, what are you talking about, Lisa? She knows I was drunk and kidding. And Lisa's like, okay, but like, try to understand. Like, she had her new boyfriend there. And then she's like, what?
Her reaction to that was like, I mean, I think it was a genuine like, oh my God, I didn't even think of it like that.
I mean, obviously. But, okay, but look at it from her point of view. If she's got her new boyfriend there.
Oh, dear. Oh, God. Lisa, I mean, you don't think that she's like, she thinks, oh, my God.
No, I don't think you meant oh it for God. A second.
Okay, so in Camille's blog for last week, she called her Madame Dorit Kemsley, the Duchess of her own universe.
I mean, this was the first time since season one I felt like Camille was back.
Right, because she has a lot to say.
Yes, and like, she's cutting, and it was very things that she was saying in interview, like the pit of bullshit, was very morally corrupt Faye Resnick. Like, her in interview season one was very much like that.
So yes.
Like, yay!
Yeah, you're excited.
Yes, absolutely.
Dorit's a bit self-absorbed, if not a lot, and the bottomless pit of bullshit.
Oh, we do talk to Kyle about season one, Camille.
We do.
I think, you know, some people kind of like season one Camille. A lot of people do, yeah. But as a friend, I prefer this Camille. Season one Camille was not my favorite person.
But the other thing about this week that fascinated me was Kyle's family. Because we've always known about her issues with Kim, but there have been rumblings outside of the show for a long time that Mauricio and her family had a falling out. He used to work for Kathy Hilton's husband, and then he went and formed his own company, which Kyle says that can kind of create some feelings.
Right.
But like, now she's creating a show that sort of hints at that. I don't know. It's just like, I think, as she says, the American woman creating that show that's even slightly based on their life, it was like a line in the sand, and now her family, like, can they come back from this?
You know, anytime I have an idea, I'm thinking, my sisters, they're going to get upset about this. But listen, a lot of crazy things have happened in my life, so I have a lot of stories to tell. What can I say?
No, she can't go to Christmas.
I mean, that's crazy.
But I do think that it was like a domino effect, right? She did American Woman. They turned their back on her. So now she's like, I have another opportunity to make a really good show. You're already turned your back on me. I'm going to just do it.
No, and I think that's great for her. It just makes me sad.
I mean, it makes her sad, obviously. Yeah. That was really upsetting.
Watching her cry. Ugh.
And like, really, what they all should be doing is working together, because
it's a feather in all their caps.
Yes, as their mom used to say.
Every time that, you know, Kathy succeeded in something, or Kim, or I did, my mom would always say, this was her expression, this is a feather in all of our caps. We're a team. You know, we all stick together. My mom was always about that.
The whole family dynamic always interests me. That's why I love Kardashians. Because on that show, too, it was like there was one episode, this is before KKW Beauty, where Kim wanted to do her own beauty line. And the sisters were like, well, we should be part of it, too. And it was like this whole thing of her being like, I kind of want to do my own thing, though. Like, we have been doing everything together. So I wonder if that's like part of it.
Part of it, too. Hmm. I do think what was interesting, too, about that conversation is just not Kyle and Dorit's conversation itself, but Lisa finding out about the conversation later. And then clearly there's that spark of jealousy.
We're not even really hiding it either.
No, I know.
Because she said it a couple times where she's just like, Huh, it's interesting, though, that she would open up to you like that so soon.
For me, that's surprising that she's going to be that, not just that upset, because I've seen her being that upset, but she doesn't know you that well, and to kind of be so open about it. Normally, she's not like that. Like, with me, she has right. over the years, and right. I've seen her pain, I've seen the struggle.
Right, because she's like, I'm not surprised that she got emotional. I'm surprised that she got emotional with you.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, it's already happening. And we saw it a little bit at the dinner when she's like, my best friend.
Yeah.
Kyle Richards.
My best friend, Kyle Richards.
Excuse me?
And what we've learned is do not cross Lisa Vanderpump.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah. So watch your back, Dorit.
Do you want to talk about that ending a little bit?
Yes, please.
You go for it.
So Teddy... Camille and, oh my God, who?
Teddy, Camille, and Kyle.
Teddy, Camille, and Kyle are at dinner, and Lisa Rinna comes straight off the plane to dinner with them.
Mm-hmm.
And she very innocently just sits down and says, you know what? I was just reading this article about Ken assaulting someone. A little lawsuit thing happening, I think is the exact phrasing she used, which is so... Just a little thing I heard. Little birdie told me.
There's a little thing happening with Lisa Vanderpump that I read in the news. And allegedly, something happened with Ken and the woman who ran the charity called
Saving Spots.
Allegedly, Ken assaulted this woman somehow.
And it's like she's saying it with this like light tone, but she's saying something very heavy.
Yes.
And we all know at this point, what you choose to say versus in a private conversation is pointed.
Yes.
And that's what everyone gets so mad about constantly. It's like not the fact that you talked about this, but that you talked about it on camera. You talked about the kids on camera. You talked about my business on camera. But this is what I love about Lisa Rinna is she's not afraid to do that.
Right.
Were you doing cocaine in the bathroom?
Right. Although this almost feels...
worse.
Worse because it's Ken... the word assault and a woman.
Right. But it reminded me of the Maurizio cheating allegations thing.
Oh, right.
Because I think Kyle, again, got so upset because she's like, yes, this was happening. Sure. But, like, it just happened to be in your bag and you happened to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's what hurt me, Lisa Vanderpump.
Right. Well, but with this Ken thing, what was interesting is, I mean, you and I, we're aware of what's happening. I don't even mean like what we hear in meetings and it, but like I follow the Housewives on social media.
Absolutely.
I see stuff. I never had heard of this.
Me neither. And I, like you said, I think we're on the pulse.
Yeah.
Like, I think of all people, we know what's kind of going on.
So if it's like one measly little blog that had written about it, then that is kind of shitty of Lisa Rinna to bring up because yeah, now everyone knows.
And now it becomes a thing. A thing. I can't wait to see what Lisa Vanderpump says about watching this scene.
We'll hear next week. Well, I think we should get into the Kyle interview.
Yes.
Because I did ask her a little bit about that show, the new show about real estate. And we also talked about season one Camille. We gave her a Sophie Stanberry.
Which got intense.
And you'll find out why. Okay, we are here with Kyle Richards. So hi. Happy to have you.
Thank you. Happy yes. to be here in beautiful New York City.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry it's so cold.
I love it. You don't understand. When you wake up all your life on Christmas morning and it's 90 degrees out, you want snow and cold weather. I love this.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. All right. Well,
I know. New Yorkers are not, you know, I know. You're not a fan of it, but I love it.
So, you know, aside from my love of Bravo, the other thing that I'm most obsessed with is Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And so when I see you on it, it like, it's like overwhelming how exciting it is.
People love a crossover, don't they?
Yes.
Yes.
Who's crazier, Housewives or Kardashians?
I think it's just two different kinds of crazy. I mean, they're just sort of like, you know, it's hard to be objective because, you know, I'm close and I know them so well. But I don't know. I mean, I think the Housewives kind of is like a next level situation.
It's true.
Yes.
So we want to get into, obviously, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. You're relationship with Lisa has kind of had ups and downs throughout all of the years. Yeah. You seem to be in a good place right now, though. But in the Super Tease, we see some maybe...
We hit some bumps this season, no doubt. You know, it's inevitable. It's very hard to maintain friendships on a show like this in reality television. And we've gone through a lot, and we've been tested over and over again. But we really do care about each other, and, you know, we know that we're better together than apart. And I, you know, wouldn't want to do the show without Lisa. We have fun together. And, you know, in order to do a show like this, you have to be able to keep having fun. And we still do have fun and laugh. So, but, you know, if you piss each other off, you do. And this time that happened, and I said it, and she didn't like it. So that created some issues that... You know, we had to work through, and we're okay, but that hasn't aired yet. So I always think to myself, oh, God, now when this airs, it's going to be another argument again. I can feel it.
Well, she just said that you were one of the reasons why she came back after season 5.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all had seasons where we're like, we don't want to go back, you know, I can't do this anymore. And, you know, she's pushed me, I've pushed her, and... Like I said, you know, we still have fun together. And there's times where you think, people always ask me, how can you still do the show? And, you know, I know they show the arguing and there's a lot of drama. And they show the fun, too. But they don't get to see all the fun that we have, too, when their cameras aren't there. Also, I think one of my favorite things about doing this show are the trips. And I don't mean the trips when we're fighting. I'm talking about the flight going to the trips. Because I got married so young and had my first baby at 19. I missed out on all those, you know, girls' trips and all that fun stuff. And for me, you know, we all get up and we meet at the airport and we're like, no husbands, no kids, and we're just going off. And, you know, you think there's always someone in the group that's not getting along, of course, but thank God that wasn't me this time. So we're on the plane and we're laughing, joking. I mean, we were laughing so hard on our trip going to Berlin this season that we were actually asked to please stop laughing so much by the flight attendant. And then we laughed more. And then Dorit laughed so hard, she fell off the side of the chair.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, we have good times.
That's awesome.
I love to hear that because so many people are like, well, what really goes on? And the fact that you're like, well, what really goes on is we have a blast and you don't even get to see all of that.
I mean, well, there's also, you know, crying. Like, you know, the cameras are down and, you know, someone said something or did something and we're up all night in the rooms talking to each other, crying, you know, and kind of talking each other through it. You know, the flight back is always a very different situation than the flight going there. But yeah, we have fun.
So we see Camille a lot this season. I have to say, because, you know, I was just a fan not working here during season 1. So I still have a hard time wrapping my head around the Camille we see today, who even when I interact with is the sweetest person.
Yeah.
But season 1 was a very different Camille.
Very different Camille. I know. Well, I think that you live and learn and you see things about yourself and often you see it yourself and you're like, oh my gosh, why would I do that or act like that? That wasn't really who I really am. Why did I say that? Or people will say, you know, you do this a lot. Why do you always? And you're like, wait, do I do that? So I think this can teach you a lot about yourself and, you know, whether it's good or bad. And I think she learned a lot from season 1 and, you know, I think changed a lot. And I think, you know, some people kind of like season 1 Camille. A lot of people do, yeah. But as a friend, I prefer this Camille. Season 1 Camille was not my favorite person.
Right. But it just gave it just gave fans so many good memories.
Yes. Oh, I mean, I still have people come up to me on the street and ask me to leave voicemails for their friends saying, "You're such a effing liar, Camille."
Literally our favorite saying.
Right. No, I say it all the
Lisa
time.
Lisa Vanderpump kept saying it to her this season. We've said that so many times to her.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Speaking of new housewives and, you know, changes, Lisa Rinna, where are you with her now? Will you ever be really good friends or will always kind of be this strange relationship?
You know, you're asking me this at an interesting time, actually, because I've always tried to keep everything separate. I like Lisa. We've always gotten along. I don't like some of the things she's said and done at all. The stuff with my sister made it very challenging to even you know, be civil and keep a friendship. But, you know, we are in this together. And I thought, okay, well, I've just got to keep that separate, you know. But sometimes she does things I really just don't understand. And it does make it harder and harder. And each time it happens, it makes it just a little bit more difficult. And recently she's been doing some weird things on her Instagram story that I'm just kind of like,
oh, right.
What are you doing? Like, I just don't understand that. And now I just find myself shaking my head and thinking, oh my gosh, what? Right. I can't wrap my head around it sometimes, honestly. I mean, it's going to end up coming up because everyone's, you know, been talking about it. She's been, you know, kind of taking jabs at Lisa Vanderpump. And I'm thinking, where did this come from? Like, I don't understand. So, you know, that's the stuff that happens in the show like this. What can I say?
Look forward to that at the reunion.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. For sure it's coming up because people are, like, sending me pictures like, why is she saying this? Why is she saying this about Lisa Vanderpump? Why is she? I'm like, I really don't know where this is coming from, and we're not even shooting right now. I don't get it. So.
Right. Your career has taken such an interesting turn in the last few years, and I was wondering, was that always the plan for you to go into television production and making shows that are loosely based on your life?
That was always my dream. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that plan coming into The Housewives at all. I didn't even know I would be, allowed that opportunity, actually. I remember when I first started the show, Bethany said to me, you know, what's your plan? And I was like, what do you mean? Just doing this little show. Like, I don't know. It wasn't like I was selling anything or anything like that. I was just living my life with the cameras because that's what I thought, that's what it was. And then I realized, you know, oh, wait a minute. Now people are asking me to write a book. So I'm going to write a book. And then that led to me opening my stores. And I was like, oh, okay, now wait a minute here. But I had many people come to me and say, oh, we want to do this line with you. We want to do that line. And I just didn't want to do it. And I have four kids, and I didn't want to leave my husband and my children. So I said no to everything. I thought, you know, I'm going to wait until I can do what I am, something that really speaks to me and that I'm passionate about. And that was always telling stories that I wanted to share that no one would listen to before. But now with The Housewives, it opened up those doors. So with American Woman, the people that I'm producing with were actually fans and wanted to meet. And then at lunch, meeting them, I shared these stories and talking about, you know, what I wanted to do. And they called 20 minutes later and said, we want to make that into a TV show, John Wells. And I was like, John Wells did ER, West Wing, Shameless. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And then all of a sudden, I was like, okay, now maybe it's a little too real. Now I'm getting scared. And now I have two other projects in development that also, now American Woman is opening doors for me that, you know, was, you know, we're doing 12 episodes for the Paramount Network. So, you know, and I didn't know it would happen like this, but in my fantasy, this is what I was going to do. And I think if in life, if you really want something, you put it out there, you can make it happen. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Well, congrats.
Yeah. We see you kind of talking about this new television project and how it is sort of loosely based on Mauricio and his business.
The new project I'm working on is for ABC. It's a 1-hour drama called Glass Houses. And obviously my family's in real estate, but you know, I think that's what sparked, like, oh, this would be a good idea. But the actual show that I'm doing is not like any of our real life, you know, it's a fictional version of. So it's not like, you know, my family, meaning my, you know, my sister and her husband's company versus ours. It's not like that. It's just real estate in LA, because other than Hollywood and making films and television, real estate is like the most, you know, Hollywood business to be in.
Right.
And, you know, we've got this amazing backdrop with these unbelievable homes. You know, my husband just sold the Playboy Mansion, and, you know, I forgot how much that sold for, 100 and something million. But we're like, what a great idea to have LA as the backdrop with these amazing homes and real estate. And because it's kind of ABC, that kind of lent itself to like the soapy family drama thing.
Right.
But it won't have anything to do with my actual family.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to talk a little bit about Teddy.
Yes.
How do you think she's fitting in?
I adore her. We just hit it off in the beginning. I feel like we're very similar, so I really get her. And I mean, it was just funny to see her come in, and she just really did not realize what she was getting herself into. And she'd be like, "Wait, so I'm so confused. Like, I'm not even talking to this woman now. We all have to have to go to lunch with her because I really don't want to." I'm like, "Yes, you do. Come along." So, and then she would have so much anxiety, you know, when she had an argument, and I was like, "I'm so that person too." So I just said to her, "I'm like, you think this is a big deal? I mean, no, not to take away from how you're feeling, Teddy, but this is like nothing compared to what I've had to go through over these 8 years." So just, you know, I think she's great. I feel like she's very down to earth, very real. I love that she's a great mom and wife and takes her family, you know, so seriously. That's her number one job, and that's how I am. And so I think she's a great addition. I do. She's very honest and outspoken.
Yes, I love that about her. She's like a voice of reason.
Yes.
Do you feel a lot of the other Housewives casts I find like haze new people, but I find you guys to try to embrace them. Do you feel like protective over new women or try to help them along?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I can see what you mean by the, you know, the hazing. Yeah, no, I feel like, you know, when someone comes in, you know, I've been there for 8 years now. And when I see someone new come in, I think, oh my gosh, this is not easy. Like Teddy, the first time I met her, was going to Vegas with us on a trip. And I thought, this poor woman, she's probably terrified of all of us. And, you know, I just, you know, I don't know. I just think, oh my gosh, I got to help them a little bit, something, any bit of advice I can give, or, you know, a shoulder to lean on or whatever it is. And sometimes that works and, you know, you develop, you know, real friendships. And other times, you know, like, you know, one season, which is the season we like to all forget existed, season four, you know, I said that to the women, you know, welcome to the show. And, you know, if you, there's anything, you know, you want to ask me, you know, you can, I'm here, you can come to me. But that didn't really go over well with, like, Carlton. She didn't want anything to do with me no matter what. So I was like, okay, well, I tried to be nice to you. You're on your own. See ya.
Well, should we do a Sophie Stanbury?
Yes. So we do this fun thing called Sophie Stanbury's Choice, which is like a Sophie's Choice, but obviously with Sophie Stanbury because she's one of our ladies of London.
Oh, okay.
So if you had to choose between either cutting your hair or never wearing a Birkin again, what would you do?
Cut my hair.
Oh, I didn't think that that would be what you said.
Although I don't have any Birkins to carry anymore because they were all just stolen.
So. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so pretty crazy.
God.
Yeah. All my jewelry, all my watches, all my handbags, luggage, everything, passport. So, yeah, these are borrowed. My earrings are borrowed. I have a backpack with me today. And, yeah, so I'm really missing some of those things right now.
Right.
I mean, you want to say, oh, they're just things, which they are. Thank God they're just things. But a lot of them hurt. A lot of them are sentimental that my mom passed on to me. Every gift I've ever received, every gift of jewelry I've ever received was taken from me. Anything I've ever worked my butt off to buy myself, taken, things I'm saving for my daughter. So it really makes you go, oh, my God. And I don't even know if I'm going to replace those things, honestly, because I'm at this point right now, I'm like, why would I replace them? I feel like they're going to be taken from me. So here I am. I'm the backpack slinging new housewife.
You know, and it doesn't matter who you are or what it is, because I had my wallet recently stolen at the airport. I feel like it just makes you feel like it's not fair. Like, that is the one thing that always went through my mind. It's like, it's not fair.
I can't stop thinking that. And it's like, I talk sense into myself and I say, okay, it's, you know, like I said, we're all okay and it's just stuff, but it hurts. It hurts a lot, especially the things that my mom passed on to me that I was saving for my daughters. I mean, I always am thinking of my four daughters. You know, if I have, you know, a ring, I think, okay, well, I'm going to need four types of ring. I need this kind of earrings. Like, I'm always thinking about that because I know what my mom felt, you know, what she went through when she was dying and she wanted to leave these things to her, my sisters and myself. So now I'm like, all those things that, like, you took them from my children. Like, I'm pissed off. And, yeah, it's been torture. But, and then I watch, I'm like, why? I can't believe I even bought those things. When I see the show and they're Lisa Vanderpump's like, her handbag costs this much. I'm like, oh my gosh. I just don't know. I don't know at this point right now. But so I'll choose cutting my hair off. Because right now, I would love to have one of my bags back. Oh, look, I see Ken Todd. Yeah. Spying on me. But anyway, I won't talk about Lisa then.
He's our newest intern, by the way.
Oh, and there's Jiggy and Harrison walking around the offices. Hilarious. Watch, ready? Here we go. And that don't bitch, lie. Lisa Vanderpump, is such... Oh, Lisa, how are you? So good to see you. Oh, I was just talking about how lovely you are.
Why do you look such a mess? Why
did
you put on makeup?
Oh, please. And you know what? The truth, I was just talking about my stuff being stolen. I actually think it was Lisa Vanderpump.
Shots fired.
Dolly, leave me alone. She, see how annoying she is? This is why we end up fighting. She wishes. No, yeah, she. I think I'm convinced that she stole my stuff because I have a pink Chanel jacket that was stolen. And that's when I realized
really,
who it was.
I feel really bad about it because what I did, and I have been very supportive, and I've really felt I had a lot of anxiety over it as well.
But you did steal some
of
my things.
No, but I did say to her, you know what? You know that pink Chanel jacket? Could you just pretend that you lost it and just give it to me? And she went, oh, my God. So she went, hold on a second. So she came back. She went, it's gone. And I think we both cried.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so crazy. Because I never thought to look at clothes.
Right.
And then she said that. And I went, I would never have thought. And I mean, I have five stores. Like I wouldn't have even think about my. I couldn't tell. You know, the bags I kind of know like children, like they're all lined up and I'm like, they're just all missing. So now I'm like, wait a minute. So
I think I've been really upset over it as well. Really.
Yeah. But if you see her wearing it around New York City, please let me know.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you so much. And I'm
so sorry
to hear that.
Thank you.
But before we leave Beverly Hills, it's time
for Eric J. Mack. This is Eric J. Mack, and this is the most Erica Jane moment of the week.
Gonna give the gays everything they want.
This week, I think we got to see a little bit more of Erica Girardi again. She's letting down those walls. We're peeling back those layers. So it was when she was talking to Mikey about Tom's accident, and she was saying to him, you know, what she needed him to do was stay focused creatively. So she can sort of take the time to take care of her personal life, make sure Tom's doing okay. And she's putting that main focus on him to be able to just, like, keep leading the charge, keep things going, keep her inspired so that she can, like, handle her business at home.
And, you know, if you need anything that I can help with,
yeah,
I'm here.
No, I wouldn't ever.
Not that.
Can I tell you something? I need you to remain creatively.
Okay, fine.
I need you to remain right over here.
I got my orders.
I got my home life nailed down. Okay. That's not going to be a problem.
I thought you were going to say just her hoops. Because she had, like, crazy big hoops on this week.
That
is true. The hoop, the bigger the hoe.
What is that from?
Just like
Khloe Kardashian.
Naturally.
Eric, you are as insightful as you are handsome.
Oh, well, thank you, Megan.
Everyone, if you don't believe me, go check him out on Twitter and Instagram.
Eric J. Mack. It's Eric with a K.
Like Erica.
Well, thanks, guys, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
And I will see you next Tuesday.
All right, so it's time for our Rose and Thorn. What is yours?
My rose was just Kim and Sheree together. Like, their meeting just made me so happy. It was like old times. It was just like they were giggling, and the way that they are together just was, it's so good. Because I feel like nobody's friends right now.
Right.
And I feel like I wanted to talk about this, I guess, in general. On a lot of the shows, they're having issues of, like, none of them like each other anymore.
Right. I mean, not Beverly Hills.
Not Beverly Hills, but I feel like New York did that a couple seasons ago.
Yes.
When Bethany and Luann didn't like each other.
Right. And it's like, who is friends?
Right. Obviously, in Orange County, they had those difficulties. So I just thought that was interesting.
My rose this week, even though we didn't talk about it, because even in the moment, it was just amazing. Ramona, of all people, calling Melissa Gorga during the reunion taping and Andy answering the phone.
I mean, you can't write it.
Why is Ramona calling Melissa Gorga?
For moral support, I suppose.
I don't know. Melissa kind of was like, she's obsessed with me. She loves me.
No.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Did you put it on airplane? No.
I put it on airplane mode.
I saw her put it on airplane mode.
It's Ramona.
Can you? Here,
oh
let me,
my God,
let me,
she's obsessed with her.
This is Ramona Singer.
She loves me.
Ramona?
Yes, who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Andy Cohen.
Oh my God, Andy, why are you answering the phone?
Because we're in the middle of the in Jersey Housewives reunion, and you have now just busted Melissa, who left her phone on.
I really didn't.
And
I
you
wouldn't...
might be interested to know that Melissa has you in her phone as Romana.
There's only a Lumana.
All right, well, we're in the middle of it now.
All right, go bye.
Talk to you later. Now, you put this on airplane.
I'm sorry.
All right.
My thorn was, it's like a bittersweet thorn, because seeing James, Lala, and Tom make music together was obviously amazing. I wonder if that ring is what he always wears when he plays the trumpet, like his turquoise ring.
Right.
But it's my thorn because I was like, they could be making music for our show.
Yes.
Why aren't they?
I have this way to just lose myself in the music. It's awesome.
My thorn, though, was... Okay. In Vanderpump Rules, when Stassi, Patrick, Schwartz, and Katie go to that speakeasy bar, and... Like, I first of all had secondhand embarrassment from Schwartz saying to Patrick, like, I just really look up to you. I think of myself as witty, but, like, you're really witty. I was like, ugh. And then Patrick was like,
well, listen, it's going to rain. You can only control how you react to the rain.
Yes. I actually like that.
You can bring an umbrella.
Yeah.
Ugh, I could have vomited.
That whole scene made me mad, and it was almost my thorn this week, too. But then when he was like, it was almost like he was more embarrassed to tell Patrick that he had made out with another woman as opposed to his wife.
I know.
I was like, what is wrong with you?
Patrick, I mean, the guy, he's good at adulting. I mean, he's got his own radio show.
You don't remember it. It's over.
And I'm over here explaining how I apparently got blackout drunk and made out with some chick. I had to get my shit together.
We want to know what your rose and thorn of the week was. Tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
You can find me on Instagram at Suspiciously Small and on Twitter at Rachie Robb. And speaking of social media, it's time for
fan shout
outs. Fan shout outs.
It's just a bird, you guys.
She was the queen, reached out to me on Instagram and said, just wanted to say thank you for the Daily Dish podcast. I look forward every week to listen to you two ladies. I grab a cocktail or two and listen like as if I was talking to girlfriends at home. Thank you again and again.
Oh, you're welcome again and again. That's so sweet.
Is that the nicest?
Well, I had a fan reach out to me on Instagram, daniel.k_. Giving me very important information. I told her it was maybe the most important direct message I've ever received, which was Katie Maloney Schwartz was in He's Just Not That Into You.
Oh my God.
I know.
What, is like an extra?
Yes. So she was like, did you know this? And I was like, oh my God, what? And then she gave me more information because she's so awesome. She screen grabbed this conversation on Twitter. Someone had tweeted at Katie, sorry to be odd, but were you an extra and he's just on the Into You? And Katie wrote back, yes, that was 10 years ago. Ha, ha, ha. And then Danielle also sent me a screen grab of Katie in the movie.
Wait, so that's in the bar?
Yes.
Like in the bar. Justin Long's bar?
Oh, my God. And she said she's in the bar at the beginning.
No, Grace. Okay, so I have one because I wanted it to call it out just for you. At Allison Harms on Twitter wrote to me, I love that movie. I own it. It survived Con Marie.
Wow. Wow. I can't believe we're talking about this movie again. I have now sat through two separate conversations in the last 2 weeks about this goddamn movie. And people on Twitter are like mad at me for not liking it. So
I'm sorry you're wrong, but this is how it feels.
We should do a screening.
It'll just be a bonus episode us watching and commenting. And at the end, I will cry.
Is that our live show? What's just a screening of He's Just Not That Into You with our commentary?
Okay, but what's that song they play at the end where he's giving the speech about, like, how you are the one?
Right. He meaning Ben Affleck. The no, one and
Justin
only
Justin Long.
Oh, yes. At her door?
I think it's an Ed Sheeran song.
Is it?
No, Ed Sheeran was like 12 when that movie came out.
Okay, who was it then?
Keen.
Yes. Oh, Keen. Remember them?
Is Somewhere Only We Know?
Mm. And he's like doing the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We also wanted to shout out someone who reviewed us on iTunes as we asked. So good job, Sarah Bear, 1977.
Southern Ham is the title of it.
Love the podcast. Yes, Southerners have a stronger accent when mad, i.e. Brittany.
Funny.
Like going ham.
Got it.
But in the Southern way.
Rotten hell.
Rotten hell. She said it so many times this episode. It was like 7 times.
Rotten hell.
Rotten hell. You deserve rotten hell.
All right. Well, that's it for this week, Megan. Sad. Wherever you're listening, make sure you're subscribed. Because next week we're going to be talking to the one and only Lisa Vanderpump.
I got my girls with me, with the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.